Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden years. Mark Livonier, your host for an hour of radio westerns. Later on, it's Frontier Town from 1949, but first a broadcast of Have Gun, Will Travel called Strange Vendetta, a CBS episode from November 23rd, 1958.
Sit down, gentlemen, and sit still. I've come to order a coffin for the first one of you who makes a move. Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Good evening, Mr. Paladin.
Good evening.
Oh, here are the paper, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, thanks, hey boy.
Excuse, please. Must go a lady look for me.
Lady? What lady? Well, I should say it is a lady.
Oh, very sorry. Could not catch tickets to opera. All sold up.
Oh, I had so hoped to sit in that performance.
And you still can.
Huh?
I couldn't help overhearing your difficulty. I have an opera box, if you would care to be my guest.
Oh, thank you. But we could not presume on your courtesy.
We?
My husband and I, Senor...
Paladin.
Oh.
Now, of course, the invitation extends to him also.
We have been looking for you, my dear.
Oh, Miguel. Senor Paladin, this is my husband, Senor O'Hara.
Senor.
And Dr. Mayhew.
Great pleasure, Mr. Paladin.
Dr. Mayhew.
Senor Paladin has kindly offered us his box at the opera tonight. There were no more tickets.
Very kind.
Dr. Mayhew is, of course, included in my invitation.
That's very gracious of you, Mr. Paladin.
The invitation is accepted?
We accept. On the condition that you join us and be our guest for dinner, Mr. Paladin. Is that not correct, my dear?
Quite correct, Mr. Paladin. Until this evening, then, buenos dias. Mr. Paladin?
Oh, husband, no like you.
I'm afraid you're right. But then, why should he?
No one could be more at home with history than Edward R. Murrow. For more than 20 years now, he's focused his attention on world affairs, broadened his viewpoint with travel, and sharpened his perspective by meeting and getting to know many of the leading statesmen of our time. Five evenings a week on CBS Radio, Edward R. Murrow shares his experience with you. For a clear, concise report on today's important developments, join us on most of these same stations when it's time for Edward R. Murrow with the news. A fuller understanding of current events is waiting for you, too, on every lively edition of our World News Roundup. Seven mornings a week on CBS Radio, the World News Roundup takes you to the scene of the news for eyewitness reports by CBS News correspondents. Hear what's happening direct from where it's happening. Get the feeling of the news along with the facts as our World News Roundup comes your way at breakfast time tomorrow.
Dr. Mayhew, it's time to wake up. The performance is over.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry, Mr. Paladin. Opera is not one of my special likes. Which one was this?
The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, at any rate, Don Miguel's wife seems to have enjoyed it.
Miss Doña Maria is a remarkable woman, Doctor. Meant to savor and enjoy beautiful things.
And I might comment for your particular benefit, Mr. Paladin, that Don Miguel is a remarkable man.
Wait a minute.
Huh? Oh, what is...
Someone behind the curtain.
What?
Don Miguel! Look out!
Don Miguel! Senor Paladin,
help him! My husband has been hurt!
Please, Doña Maria, Dr. Mayhew will do all he can.
Yes,
Paladin, he needs treatment at once. We'll have to get him out of here.
It is you, Senor Paladin.
Yes. Any news?
No, not yet. We are still waiting.
Well, I spoke to the police. There'll be no trouble. It was a clear case of self-defense. The man attacked your husband and was shot down. It was lucky Don Miguel was armed.
Yes.
Is he always armed?
I do not know.
Did you see the man who attacked your husband?
Of course I saw him.
Did you know him?
No.
The man looked very surprised at the way things turned out.
Oh, it doesn't Dr. Mayhew hurry.
Doña Maria, has Don Miguel ever been attacked like this before?
No. Yes, he has. Oh, there is no need to lie about it. It's an insane blood feud that has cost many lives already. This was bound to happen. They failed tonight. They will not fail another time.
Blood feud? Perhaps I can help?
This is not a tragic opera, senor. In this case, death is very real. Doctor, how is he?
He's resting quietly. You may go to him now, Doña Maria.
As Doña Maria.
Yes.
Give him my card.
This is not time for phone. Have gun? Will travel?
Give it to him. Please.
See, I will.
Well?
The wound itself isn't too serious, but I don't like the looks of it.
Why, Doctor? What's the problem?
There was poison on the knife blade. Nothing familiar. A plant substance of some sort.
Well, the question is, will Don Miguel live?
Yes. For perhaps a week.
Dr. Mayhew has told me I'm dying. That is why I sent for you, after I read your card. My wife has told you of a vendetta.
Yes. Yes, she did. What do you want? Revenge?
No. My task for you is much more personal. I want you to escort my body safely to my home in San Tomasino and deliver it there to my wife.
Doña Maria, isn't she here in San Francisco?
I sent her home this morning. I wish to die unobserved.
Someone once commented, you are a remarkable man.
Do not misconstrue my sentimentality. The vendetta against our family includes a threat of mutilation of the body. In which case, the bestiality is complete. I would prefer that it did not happen to my body. Will you take the job?
All right.
$1,000 and expenses.
We have a bargain.
Good. You'll be paid by Maria upon safe delivery of my body in San Tomasino. Thank you, Senor Paladin.
Robbery in San Francisco.
What did you say, hey boy?
Big robbery in San Francisco. $230,000. Oh, very careless. You read?
No, I was reading something else. Don Miguel Rojas, distinguished visitor from Mexico, died last night of knife wounds, suffered last week when he was attacked by an unidentified assailant while attending the opera.
Mr. Paladin?
Yes?
I'm Mr. Wilkins.
Oh, yes, the mortician.
You sent for me. May I be of help to you?
You can turn one of your clients over to me, Mr. Wilkins, the late Don Miguel Rojas. Here, this is a letter of authorization.
The body is to go into Mexico. You'll need a certificate to cross the border, sir.
I have that from Dr. Mayhew.
And how do you propose to transport the body?
I've hired a stagecoach, Mr. Wilkins.
When would you like to start?
As soon as possible.
Don Miguel will be ready. Good day, sir.
Good day.
Oh, how long you be gone, Mr. Paladin?
Oh, 12 days, 2 weeks at the most. Now, why do you look like that?
Hey, dead man. Oh, no good trip carrying dead man.
Oh! know, border stations are all alike, Mr. Paladin.
Anybody here?
You just try to go through without inspection. You'll find out if anybody's here. Where's your destination?
San Tomasino.
Name?
Paladin. My driver is Timmons.
Just the two of you?
Three.
John Miguel. Hey, you can't take a dead body across the border.
Yes, I can. There's a statute book. Read Article 8, page 14. You want to inspect the coffin?
Open that thing up? Oh, not me.
All right, then. What's the country like between here and San Tomasino?
Well, empty, except for a water hole called Loma Verde. The rest is rattlers and blow dirt. Oh, go on. Inspection's over.
Let's go, Timmons. Yeah! Yeah!
The only spot of green we've seen, Mr. Paladin. Loma Verde's hardly a paradise. I don't like it.
Can't say I like it much myself, but we won't be here long. At least we can water the horses.
The sooner we can move on...
Hold it.
Why?
We have company behind that rock.
Huh?
Yes, sir, Los Manos.
Bandits.
Don't move.
Raise your hands, senores.
Do what he says.
Bueno.
He's alone, Mr. Paladin. Him against us.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
We can let him kill us here, or we can fight him here.
You say the word.
Now.
Wise. Very wise after such a foolish thing. Now climb down carefully.
Now what?
You may bury your friend if you wish.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Seems I know you from somewhere.
Quite possibly. If I take off the handkerchief, you might remember where.
Don Miguel.
Of course.
You're not a bad shot for a corpse.
Do not make me prove that point again.
The fresh, clean scent of wine. It's new. It's at your store.
What is it?
It's the best disinfectant anywhere. Kills disease germs on contact.
It's Lysol in a new pine scent.
Right. Now there's a new pine-scented Lysol. Now your home can be pine sweet and Lysol clean with genuine Lysol brand disinfectant. New pine-scented Lysol disinfects, deodorizes, deep cleans kitchen, bathroom, nursery, sick room. Keeps things fresh and sweet with no extra work. Pine-scented Lysol helps guard your home. In laboratory tests, Lysol's anti-germ action kept working for 7 full days. So try this new pine-scented Lysol. Make your home
pine, sweet, and Lysol clean.
You can still get regular Lysol, too.
Turn around, please. Your gun? And now we can talk like gentlemen.
Sure.
Now, I would like to satisfy my curiosity about that cargo. Open up my coffin.
Money. A great deal of it.
The shipping payroll robbery. $230,000.
You plan well. Dr. Mayhew was in on this?
He has been paid off along with Mr. Wilkins, our undertaker. They made my debt seem very convincing. But not as convincing as yours will be, Senor Paladin.
What are you waiting for?
First, you must help me with another burial. The money must be hidden until certain arrangements are made. Replace the lid and come down.
I warn you, any false move will shorten your life and will assure you a much more unpleasant death than you now contemplate. Pick up the shovel. Now move.
When you staged that attack at the opera, what about the man who was killed?
The man was hired to play a part. I changed the ending of his scene.
No wonder he looked surprised.
You cannot play chess without sacrificing pawns. Now, dig.
All right. You're in check. Miguel. Checkmate.
Come back to the border. Hey, did you deliver that? Hey, coffin's still up there on top.
And the corpse is in the coach. Take a look. You see?
Just sit where you are, mister, and start explaining.
That is the body in the coach. The coffin up here is filled with stolen money.
What are you trying to pull, mister?
You don't think I'm telling the truth?
No.
There's an easy way to prove it. Come on up here and open the coffin.
All right, I will. Here, give me a hand.
Right.
Well, I'll be.
What's your name?
Farley.
Mr. Farley, there's a lady in San Tomasino waiting for the body of her husband, whereupon she will pay me my fee. I need your help.
What's this got to do with me?
I thought you might want to get credit for the lady's arrest if she's a part of the plan.
What about all this money? What'd we do with that?
The colonel in command of the 3rd Cavalry at Nogales will sign for it and escort it back to San Francisco.
All right. We'll turn the money over to him and start back. But how do we know if this lady is guilty or not?
Suppose you leave that up to me, Mr. Farley. Surprised to see me?
No, but I thought...
I didn't wish to disturb the servants. You see, my errand is quite personal.
Yes, my husband sent word before he...
Would you like us to bring the coffin in this way?
Very well.
Excuse me. All right, Mr. Farney.
I don't like this, Paladin.
This is Mr. Farley, Doña Maria, Señora Rojas.
How do you, ma'am?
How do you do? I will get your money, Señor.
Don't you think you should make certain that I've fulfilled my part of the bargain?
Yes, you are right. Open the coffin.
Farley.
Yeah. That is my husband. I will get your money.
What do you think, Farley?
Not guilty. No woman could be that calm. She thought her husband was alive and then saw him dead.
And you're satisfied she had nothing to do with him?
Yeah.
All right. Wait for me at the stagecoach.
Yeah. Don't be too long.
Where is your man, senor? There is a drink for him in the kitchen.
You hid your surprise very well. And your grief.
I had no grief for Miguel. I do not know how he died, but I can never thank you enough for giving me my freedom. My life with him was a nightmare.
I can believe you. I saw it in your face. Goodbye, Doña Maria.
Wait. Your money?
No, I'd rather not.
Please, senor. It gives me pleasure to pay for my errors, especially since this is the last payment.
Very well. Should you come again to San Francisco, I hope you'll come with me to the opera. Ah, Dr. Mayhew.
Oh, I got your message, Mr. Paladin, but I'm afraid I can't give you too much time. I'm a very busy man.
All of us are. Ah, here comes another busy man.
Hey?
Mr. Wilkins, the undertaker.
My dear Mr. Paladin, what can I do for you?
Sit down, first of all.
Thank you, Doctor.
Wilkins. Well, Paladin, what is it you want?
I'd like to order a coffin.
A coffin?
For whom?
For whichever of you gentlemen makes the first move.
Well, I...
This is a derringer in case identification escapes you. Hey, boy.
Mr. Paladin?
Get me a policeman. On second thought, get me two policemen. One apiece.
Story in papers. Dr. Mayhew and Mr. Wilkins all in jail.
Where they belong, hey boy. Ah, here we are.
Oh, where are we?
San Francisco opera premiere tonight. Hey boy, I want you to take this over to the opera house. Buy me a box.
Oh.
Now, what's the matter with you?
Last time you go to opera, man get killed, money get stolen. Oi, big trouble. You no learn?
Of course I learn. What would you have me do?
No opera, no lady.
Hey, boy, I'm afraid you have a lot to learn.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Ken Cove and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Lillian Bayef, Harry Bartell, Joseph Kearns, Howard Culver, Ralph Moody, and Vic Perrin. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned to Yesterday from November 23, 1958 on CBS, the very first show in that long-running series producing nearly 160 broadcasts for CBS before the show folded on November 27, 1960. That particular episode was actually adapted from the television series used about a year earlier. This is an hour of radio westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for Frontier Town with the story 5 Gallons of Poison from April 2nd, 1949.
Frontier Town, the saga of the Roaring West. Frontier Town. El Paso, Cheyenne, Calgary, Tombstone. Frontier Town. Here is the adventurous story of the early West, the tamed and the untamed. From the Pecos to Powder River, Dodge City to Poker Flat, these are the towns they fought to live in and lived to fight for. Teeming crucibles of pioneer freedom. Frontier Town! Thank you.
ever hear of a cow town called Dos Rios? Well, don't feel bad if you haven't. It's just one of those frontier towns, roistering and noisy, perched in one of the lushest and richest valleys below the Continental Divide. Me, I'm Chad Remington, the town's only lawyer. But like everyone else, I've got my own ranch with the typical well-fed, slab-sided herd of cattle for which our valley is so famous. And just because these cattle are valuable, well, it gives some men ideas. And that makes plenty of business and trouble for a saddle-stop lawyer. It wasn't too long ago that I was riding in toward Dos Rios for my spread. Cherokee O'Bannon, he runs the town livery stable, now that we've talked him out of peddling his genuine Indian rattlesnake oil. Cherokee was riding with me as we cut across some open range trying to get to Dos Rios before sundown. Hey, look at those Herefords, will you, Cherokee? Someday with a few more head, I might even be able to burn up my law books and retire.
And I use the term at the twinge of conscience, you must have bats in your belfry. Looking at a bunch of cows like that. For shame.
What have I done now to offend your artistic integrity?
What has he done now, he says? My boy, you've been casting sultry, longing looks at a bunch of blank-faced cows. When half that emotion spent on a proper female woman would return to you tenfold. Nay, a hundredfold.
Oh, don't you go biblical on me, you old reprobate. And something else. Unless a man has a few head of good beef, he can't afford to cast long, lingering looks at a woman.
Chad, my boy, your total lack of sophistication and experience hurts me deeply. A man who has some money in his jeans doesn't need to bother with the distaff side. He can go out and woo old John Barleycorn.
Cherokee, the older you get, the more unregenerate you become. Your total lack of appreciation for a herd of cattle is something that I... Hey, Cherokee, rein up.
Slow there, girl.
Oh, boy. Easy.
Oh, what in Billy Blue Blazes happened to you, Chad?
Oh, you see that water hole just ahead of us?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a tin can lying next to it, lying on its side?
Yeah. Unless my optics deceive me, that's an empty 5-gallon can. But what about it? It's a lead pipe cinch. It didn't contain old spiritus fomenti. That's drinking liquor to you.
No, it's a lead pipe cinch. It didn't contain anything that pleasant. I got an awful feeling it did contain 5 gallons of enough stuff to poison every steer that drank out of that waterhole.
Why, if I ever catch the pussy-footing polecat that did that, I'll darn well destroy him. Come on, girl, get up!
I'd like to get my hands on the buzzer who did this. Putting poison in a waterhole.
I must admit it's incomprehensible even to me. Why would someone want to poison a lot of dumb, defenseless cows?
I don't know, but with their stock poisoned off, how many ranchers around here could pay their debts?
You mean to say someone deliberately? By the great god Pan, Chad, this is the most nefarious bit of chicanery I've ever heard of.
It certainly is.
Now, just a minute. I heard you say just the other day that not over half a dozen ranchers in this whole valley owe a mortgage to the bank. That old sourball Ripley who owns the bank forced most of them to pay up a year ago last spring. So what debts could they have?
Plenty. Ever since Ripley shut off most of the credit, which absorbed most of the cash folks had on hand, everyone's been buying at Parker's store because Lisha Parker's been willing to let his bills run.
Lisha Parker? If you mean to insinuate Lisha Parker's mixed up in this cattle poisoning, you and I are coming to fisticuffs. Why, that old gentleman is so honest, it makes me blush. Yes, it does.
Oh, calm down, Cherokee. Calm down. This has nothing to do with Lisha. But legally, if the ranchers can't pay their debts, he could go to court, get judgment, and take them all over lock, stock, and barrel in liquidation of his claims.
But if you say Lisha isn't mixed up in it... Shucks, Chad, I think you're putting your money on the nose of the wrong horse.
Yeah, I'm not making any bets on this race. Because I got a notion it's been fixed. I'm blame well going to find out if I can before the sun sets today. If I sounded like a boastful kid, well, that's just the way it turned out. Because after talking to Lisha and Sarah Parker, not only didn't I find anything before sundown, but I didn't find out anything for the best part of a week. Waterholes continued to be poisoned. Strangers drifted in and out of town. Even the sheriff couldn't find out a thing that'd help. And then, best I can piece it together, another stranger arrived in town. The stranger. The stranger who wasn't too strange to the handful of gunslicks who'd been hanging around town. They got together in the Silver Boot Saloon.
Hey, bartender.
Let's have another bottle.
Hi, Lefty. The boy said you were over here.
Ah, pull up a chair and rest your frame, Krug. If you got your work done. You must be tired. Bring another glass with that bottle.
I got my work done all right. You know me, boss.
Yeah, I sure do. That's why I shipped you up here ahead of me. Any trouble?
Oh, shucks, no. Oh, there's been a Jasper in town snooping around. A lawyer named Chad Remington. But he ain't found out a thing, Lefty, believe me.
Yeah, he'd better not find out anything if he wants to go on practicing law. Because I'll get him just the way I'm going to get Parker's store.
Now, look, Lefty, you ain't ever been here in Dos Rios before. Me and the boys have been here for more than a week. And I'm telling you, that there Elisha Parker is a stubborn old goat. He'll never sell.
No? Well, let's just suppose that Parker won't. Don't you think his widow will?
Widow?
That's what I said, widow. And if Parker is as crusty an old goat as you say he is, it shouldn't be too hard.
Shouldn't be a... Lefty, I'm sorry, I just don't get you.
Well, just like you said, Parker's got a nasty temper, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You're going over to that store and talk Parker into an argument. You understand? Poor Parker, with that temper of his, gets sore and grabs for his gun. That's all, mister. He grabs for his gun, only you outdraw him.
Hey, you really got something there. Don't let nobody tell me Lefty Slaughter ain't got brains.
Yeah? Well, instead of wasting your time trying to butter me up, you better be getting over to Parker's store, because once he's out of the way, it's still going to take time before I'm the owner of all the choicest ranches in the Dos Rios Valley. Now, go on. I'm getting so anxious, my tongue's hanging out.
Lasha. Oh, Lasha.
Yes, sir? Oh, want me to put that bold calico up on the shelf for you?
Would you please, Lasha? You're a dear.
After 42 years of what we've been through together, sir, certainly doesn't take a... Well, looks like we got a new customer coming in.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I'd like a pound of sugar.
Pound of sugar. Yes, sir. Right here.
I said I wanted a pound.
Well, sure, I heard you. This is a pound sack.
You aiming on calling me a liar?
Now, look here, mister. I didn't ask you to come into my store.
But I come in, and I'm not going to have some thieving crook like you give me a half pound and claim it's a pound.
You get out of here. Doggone you. Turn around and clear out of my place before I blast you.
Lasha, don't.
Why, you bald-headed old goat. Nobody's putting me out of no place.
I'll show you
who's putting watch out. Out in the... Lasha! Lasha.
Hold it, you. Get away from that door.
Watch him, Cherokee.
Set your eyes, Jack.
Did he do the shooting, Mrs. Parker?
He killed my husband.
Yeah? Well, I only shot in self-defense.
Is that the truth, Mrs. Parker?
Yes. I tried to stop him, but Lasha did draw first.
Well, now are you satisfied?
I can't say that I'm satisfied. I guess the sheriff won't hold you in the face of that evidence.
Lasha. Oh, Lasha, why did you do it?
I can't tell you how sorry I am. I didn't get here 2 seconds earlier.
Oh, that's all right, Chad. Oh, Lasha. Lasha.
Just saying how sorry I am, I know isn't going to bring your husband back, but there's still an account to be squared up, and I'm hoping you'll let me square it. Come on, Cherokee. I'm going to escort this buzzard down to the sheriff. It was a foregone conclusion that the sheriff had released Krug, but not before we found out that he had something to do with the stranger who'd arrived in town, Lefty Slaughter. Not knowing Slaughter, I decided to go down to the saloon where he was hanging out and size him up just in case.
Go on, honey, one more drink. Then I'll give you some more folding money to lose at Faro.
Excuse me, but the bartender pointed you out to me as Lefty Slaughter.
Yeah. Something I can do for you, my friend?
If I didn't have something else on my mind, Slaughter, I'd ask you to apologize for calling me a friend.
Asking for an apology and getting one are two different things.
Well, maybe I've been lucky, but I generally get what I ask for.
And maybe that's because you make it your business to ask the wrong people.
Yeah, maybe. But I didn't come here to ask you anything. I came here to tell you something.
You don't say.
Elisha Parker was just shot down in cold blood. And I thought you'd want to know. I'm making it my business to find out why.
Oh? Well, I never had the pleasure of meeting this Mr. Parker. But if he was a friend of yours, I can't say that I'm exactly sorry.
Well, you may be sorry. Next time you or any of your gun hands try to finish off what you've started.
And now, if you're through, I'm sure you'll excuse me so I can start enjoying myself.
Well, sure, Mr. Slaughter. Enjoy everything while you can. Because if you keep up like I think you've started, legally or otherwise, I'm going to help see that you enjoy the next 50 years of your life rotting away in jail.
We'll return to the exciting second act of our Frontier Town adventure in just about 1 minute. And now, Frontier Town.
Guess I sounded like a boastful kid all over again. I mean, going in and deliberately rubbing Lefty Slaughter the wrong way. But I've found until you've rubbed the fur, you can't tell if the animal you've got is a house cat or a polecat. Sometimes they're both dangerous, but you trap them different ways. Well, I found out in short order that Slaughter was as cold and cocky as they come. Knowing that, there was nothing more I could find out until such time as he chose to make his next move. So Cherokee and I sat for 4 more days in my office up above Cherokee's livery stable, looking out the window and watching the entire street. Then late the afternoon of the 5th day, Cherokee turned away from the window suddenly.
Chad, look there!
Hmm?
That double-dyed, dirty gunslinger who terminated Lisha Parker's mortal existence? He's walking down the street with Lefty Slaughter.
He was walking with him. Now Krug's turned off into the saloon and... Hey, you see what Slaughter's doing? He's heading straight for Mrs. Parker's store.
Well, if that's the case, and it certainly seems to be, then what are we doing loitering about this legal loggia?
You're right, Cherokee. So grab your hat or your gun or both, and let's be finding out what business Slaughter might have with Mrs. Parker.
Some of the boys over at the, hotel told me about the misfortune you had, Mrs. Parker. I mean about your husband.
Well, certainly mighty kind of a stranger to come over and pay his sympathies.
And believe me, sympathy is just what made me drop in today. You see, I got to thinking about how difficult it might be for a woman like you to try and run a store alone.
Yes. I'm afraid it really takes a man's mind to run a business right.
Oh, isn't that the truth? And since I came to Dos Rios looking for a business to go into myself, and with you now probably wanting to sell...
Oh, I wasn't thinking of selling out, Mr. Slaughter.
Now, I know this may sound kind of sudden, but I'm willing to pay you a fair price. All cash. Say,
$2,000. $2,000? Mm-hmm. Why, we've got more than $20,000 just owing us on the books. Oh,
sure, books... With their cattle dying off like flies, that $20,000 isn't worth the ink it took to write it. Well, I don't aim to argue with a woman, but I'm a fair man. And once I make up my mind, I don't let anyone change it.
Well, now, isn't that too bad? Now, you just listen to
me. Mrs. Parker, you'd better do the listening. I've got $3,000 here in cash, so suppose you sit down and start writing out that bill of sale.
Why? If I were a man, I'd take that shotgun off the wall.
Absolutely, Mrs. Parker. Hello, Slaughter.
What are you doing here? Butting in again?
Nope. But since you're determined to stay in Dos Rios, I'm just being neighborly. And seeing as you want to spend your money, I thought I'd suggest to Mrs. Parker that she accommodate you.
Accommodate him? Why, what do you mean, Chad?
Well, since you haven't done much cash business this year, I thought maybe I could help Mr. Slaughter spend some of that cash he's got on him right here. Since he's so all fired anxious to buy something.
Chad, I don't want any of his money, not any of it.
Now, who said it was his money? I'd hate to think where it came from.
If you could think at all, you'd keep your nose out of this.
What do you mean, think? If he could just smell, he'd keep his nose out of your business. Reach to the high heaven.
Why, you loudmouth.
Chad, stop him. You wrecked my whole store.
Don't worry about your store, Mrs. Parker. You able to get up, Cherokee?
Once I get some of these picks and shovels out of my hair.
Slaughter, that was a mistake hitting Cherokee. Bad mistake for you. But at that, I guess you wouldn't have hit him if he hadn't been 20 years older than you are.
Yeah? Who says so?
I say so. I'm about your age. Why didn't you hit me? Well, I'm not too gentlemanly to hit you.
That's it, Chad. Beat the brains out of the blighter.
Not much satisfaction to that, Cherokee. He won't hit back while I'm facing him.
Well, if I had my way, I'd christen his thick skull with a few bottles of my Indian rattlesnake oil, applied with vigor.
I'll see both of you again.
I'm sure you will, but you're not leaving yet. Remember I was going to help you spend some of your hard-earned money here with Mrs. Parker? Cherokee, load some of those picks and shovels you knocked over into Mr. Slaughter's arms.
My boy, you've got a most imaginative idea.
What does he want with picks and shovels, Chad?
From what I've heard, he's fixing to dig his own grave.
There you are. Three picks, four shovels.
Mm-hmm.
Hold out your arms, you insult the human race.
You're going to pay for this?
Oh, no. Wrong again, Slaughter. You're going to pay for this. Three picks and four shovels will be, well, in round numbers, let's say $50. And Cherokee, since we always aim to help the customer, just peel one of those bills off Mr. Slaughter's bankroll.
Just one?
Just one.
You're never going to live a life of ease like that, Chad.
Now, let's see. You can carry a little more. Just about room for a bolt of that calico. And it's just the right color for Slaughter, too. Yellow.
Yellow?
It'll make a nice yellow shroud for that grave he's digging for himself.
Yeah, with all the money he's got left, it's too bad we can't sell him a headstone. Going to be needing that soon, I think.
You're going to be laughing on the other side of your face before I'm through with you.
For the time being, you're through with me now. So, adios, Slaughter. And in consideration of your $100 purchase this morning, Mr. O'Bannon will be glad to open the door for you as you go out.
Goodbye, thank you. And be sure not to come in again.
Chad, I just can't thank you enough.
Yeah, I'm afraid your thanks are a little premature.
Why, what do you mean?
Chad thinks he knows what that crook is up to.
Seems to me Lefty Slaughter found out that almost every rancher in the valley owes you money. He's decided to cripple them, force you to sell out to him, and then take over what ranches he's wanted for the money they owe the store.
How terrible. But why did you let him walk out of here? Why didn't you have him arrested?
Well, because so far he's been too smart to involve himself. As his hired gun thugs do his dirty work. Until we get them, Slaughter's still in the clear.
Oh, I see. But isn't there anything you can do to stop them before they murder someone else like Lasha?
What I'd like to do is create a situation which may force Slaughter into doing something he hadn't planned on. Some crime he hadn't figured in advance. And then catch him red-handed. I think we can, Mrs. Parker, if you'll give me your permission to call a meeting of all the ranchers who owe you money right here at your store. Quiet, please.
Suppose you stop acting as if you're running this whole show, Remington. Let Sarah Parker do her own talking.
Now, there's no talking for me to do. I've sold this store and all of its assets to Chad Remington, and from now on, you'll have to do business with him.
Go on and grumble if you want, but it isn't going to do any good. You owe this store money, and I want cash on the barrelhead. Or if I don't get it, I'm going to court and take judgments against every one of you.
Remington, your poor father must be turning over in his grave. How do you expect us to raise money now?
You can raise money. All you got to do is drive your cattle to market and sell it off.
Why, it's almost 2 months till shipping time.
Instead of standing around here arguing, I'm advising you to get together and start a drive with your herds up to the nearest railhead. I'm only giving you 5 days to be back with cash. So if you know what's good for you, you'll be on your way by sunrise tomorrow morning.
Are you loco, Krug? Remington buying out Mrs. Parker's store?
Boss, I was there myself with the whole crowd. And he told them to get out and drive their cattle to market and be back with the money in 5 days, or else he was taking over every ranch in the valley.
Well. There's nothing crookeder than a crooked lawyer. The funny part is, what he's doing is playing right into our hands.
Playing into our...
Sure, what happens? Those ranchers start driving their cattle to market. You and me and the rest of the boys are laying for them. We get the cattle. Remington don't get the money, and the ranches he takes over are worth nothing.
Well, I'll be... That smart monkey is playing into our hands. What good are them ranches without cattle on them?
No good. Krug, you go round up the boys. A thing like this calls for a real celebration.
Lefty thought I was dumb, all right. The Dos Rios ranchers knew I was a crook. All I was sure of was I was taking a long, wild chance and hoping it would pay off. Next morning, just as I told them to, the ranchers joined up in one big trail drive and started for San Jacinto. From where we were perched, Cherokee, the sheriff, the posse, and I, we could see the cattle spread out along the trail almost as far as the eye could reach. I guess we waited more than an hour, every man Jack's eyes shaded from the morning sun, scanning the pass below us, waiting, praying for some sign of trouble. And finally, it came. A single shot. And then in the next instant, it sounded like it must have that day at Gettysburg. We waited for a moment to make sure we were right. And then the sheriff unholstered his gun and turned to me.
You sure were right, Chad. Look at them rustlers pour out of that canyon.
There must be a million of them. 2 million, maybe.
Yeah. All right, you posse men. Unholster those 45s and let's get to riding.
Cut down through that arroyo. That way we can get between them and the cattle.
And right in front of those rustlers' bullets. Say, Chad, haven't I got time for a little drink of my rattlesnake oil? Something?
All you got time to do is squeeze the trigger. Come on, let's go.
Cats is turning around and heading for the wood.
All right, it's that yellow-spined skunk, Slaughter. Hey, Sheriff, you keep after the rest of them. Slaughter's trying to sneak away. I'm going to get him.
All right, Chad. All right, come on, men. And don't waste lead shooting over their heads.
All right, get around there, fella. Slaughter's got a quarter of a mile head start. Slaughter, the further away you ride, the further you're going to bounce on the way back to town. I'm not warning you again. If I bulldog you off that horse of yours, you're apt to break your neck. All right. Here's your lead back with interest. Get up there, boy. Come on. Get alongside of him. In there now where I can get my arm around that. Doggone you, Slaughter. Am I going to have to break your arm?
Stop, Remington. Oh, let go. You got me. I quit.
There.
I quit.
All right, then. Come on. Get up. Yeah. And start walking. It's a long trip back to Dos Rios and to jail.
God blame you, Chad. Here you had us thinking you were a bigger crook than Slaughter. And all the time you were doing it for our own good.
Yes, sirree. Just like a father with an unreasonable kid.
Yeah, spare the rod and spoil the child. That's Chad's motto.
What's your motto, Cherokee?
Well, I guess you might say it is spare the flask and spoil the drink. By the way, isn't it about time for the libation right now?
From the way I look after Bulldog and Slaughter off his horse, it's about time for me to take a bath and put on some clean clothes.
Well, it's not premature to thank you now, Chad. Except I don't know how I ever can. Enough.
You go talking to that young sprat like that, sir, and he'll go getting a swell head. Eh, not that he don't deserve one, though. That little idea of his of making the boys trail their cattle certainly squeezed Slaughter into pulling one crime he hadn't figured on.
You're so right, Sheriff. And in honor of my dear friend's talents, I suggest someone buy me a little shot of something good so I can propose a toast to it. Besides, my knees haven't stopped shaking yet.
Well, my knee isn't shaking, Cherokee, and it's strong enough to turn you over it and beat a little genuine Indian tune on your tom-tom.
No, Chad! If you turned me over your knee, not only would you break my spirit, but you'd bust a flask full of the finest Cherokee Indian rattlesnake oil that ever whetted a man's whistle. I'm going home.
Thank you.
Frontier Town, starring Tex Chandler, is a Bruce Ells production. Supervision by Joel Murcott. Story and direction by Paul Franklin. Music written and played by Ivan Dittmars. Be sure to be with us again same time next week for another fine action-adventure story with your favorite young Western star, Tex Chandler. This is Bill Forman telling you that Frontier Town came to you from Hollywood.
Frontier Town, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 2nd of April, 1949, a syndicated episode wrapping up this hour of Radio Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.